It's here and now. Domestic issues like racial injustice and the response to the pandemic are dominating the Democratic convention so far. But what about foreign policy? There are significant differences between President Trump and his opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden. Joining us now is Michael Hirsch, senior correspondent at Foreign Policy. Michael, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we just spoke on the show yesterday with the former World Bank President Robert Zoellick, a Republican, who said President Trump's foreign policy is transactional. It is pretty clear that Trump doesn't put much value in alliances like NATO and the United Nations. What do you think is Trump's overall foreign policy vision, or is there one?
Well, I think it's been a brand of neo-isolationism from the start, from the day that he invoked, you know, America First, which, of course, was the pre-World War II isolationist movement. I think that that has been his policy, is to unwind international agreements. And he, you know, later really followed that course quite assiduously by pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, pulling out of the Iran nuclear pact, pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That has been his approach.
And what about Joe Biden? What do we know about his approach to foreign policy or his overall vision?
Well, Biden, you know, comes from this long tradition of a consensus in favor of America's global leadership role, reaffirming U.S. alliances, especially with Europe and Japan, maintaining international agreements. And in fact, the Obama Biden administration, you know, was the author of the Iran nuclear agreement and was a leading player in the Paris Climate Accord. I think with a President Biden, you will get very swiftly an attempt to restore those understandings to bolster these alliances. You'll certainly see Biden rejoin the Paris Climate Accord and the Iran nuclear deal, I think, rather swiftly.
Certainly one of the biggest foreign policy issues facing the president in January of 2021 is going to be the relationship with China. President Trump has taken a hard line against China, imposing tariffs and using harsh rhetoric against Beijing. If Trump wins a second term, what do you think happens to the relationship with China?
I think it gets continually worse. There is no real movement forward here. The Trump trade accord with China turned out to be far more limited than was intended. They intended to change China's trade practices. And what people didn't fully realize with the Trans-Pacific Partnership was that it excluded Beijing. It was an attempt to pressure China into accepting fair trade norms and had more than 20 nations doing that. So I think what you'll continue to see is this trade war without resolution if Trump is reelected. Hmm.
And what about if Biden wins?
Well, you know, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, led by Bernie Sanders, made itself heard again this primary season. And in contrast to Hillary Clinton, who tended to sort of shrug it off in 2016, Biden is listening this time. And so you heard Biden come out recently with his $400 million Buy American plan, which sounds a little bit like what Trump is doing. In other words, a return to manufacturing on our shores. So Biden, I think, will want to rejoin the TPP, which has been kept alive in a reduced form by Japan. But I think he said that he's going to try to renegotiate it so that we do have more manufacturing at home. So it's going to be a little bit of a hybrid approach. Biden, because he's held back by the progressives in the Democratic Party, is not going to simply rush back into these trade agreements of the past.
Do you see, though, either Trump or Biden confronting China on issues like the islands in the South China Sea or Hong Kong or even Taiwan?
I think there will not be a great difference between a Biden administration and a second Trump administration. Although, you know, Trump has been a little bit wishy-washy on China. On one hand, sometimes praising Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, who's taken a very harsh stance on Hong Kong. But meanwhile, we get tough statements from his administration about what is happening in Hong Kong in terms of the suppression of rights there. I think you're going to hear and see the same kind of rhetoric from a Biden administration.
Let's talk about the Middle East. President Trump has ordered military strikes against Syria in his administration, the killing of Iran's top military commander. But he's also pulling U.S. troops out of Afghanistan. If Trump wins a second term, what do you think will be the goal when it comes to the Middle East?
Well, on Afghanistan, we've had efforts by Trump's envoy, Zalmay Khalilzad, to forge a peace agreement with the Taliban for the first time. And you're going to see a continual drawdown of troops, which is also what I think you would see in a Biden administration. On the Middle East, Trump just enjoyed one of his rare diplomatic triumphs by supporting the normalization of relations between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, mm-hmm. which really was the first time there's been a peace deal since the early 90s with an Arab country in Israel. So I don't see a huge amount of difference there, with the signal exception of Iran. If Biden gets in as president, you'll see a very big difference there. You'll see an attempt to reopen those negotiations and to rejoin that agreement.
And what about Russia? We've seen what's happened over the last few years between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. There was the famous meeting in Helsinki when Trump didn't really confront Putin about election interference. What happens with Russia and with NATO if Trump wins a second term?
Look, I think one of the most enduring mysteries of the entire Trump administration is his relationship with Vladimir Putin. We know that as a businessman before he became president, and of course he never ran for any other office, Trump benefited a lot from money that came in from Russia and other former Soviet republics. We don't know whether there's a direct relationship between his business ties and his personal ties to Putin. We do know that he has been consistently reluctant to criticize Putin personally. But at the same time, the administration has continued most sanctions on Russia, even as Trump has attempted to get, for example, Putin to rejoin the G7 meetings, has found himself running up against a wall of opposition from other G7 leaders. So I think that from Biden, you will probably get a more consistently tough stance against Putin personally and what Putin has done than you've heard from Trump.
And do you think, because Trump announced recently that he was going to pull U.S. troops out of Germany, do you think a Biden administration would put them back in and keep that presence in Europe?
I do. I think that the most Atlanticists, that is most people who see the U.S. European alliances as the bulwark of stability in the world, as they have since the end of World War II, are appalled by that decision, which seemed to be made out of a fit of pique that Trump has toward German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and didn't have any real strategic reason. So I think that you would see a Biden administration attempt to restore those troops very swiftly.
Michael Hirsch, most Americans do not vote on the issue of foreign policy. They vote on domestic issues. But do you think that foreign policy and America's place in the world is at stake in this election? Or do you think that people should be thinking about that in a bigger way as they vote this November?
Very much so. I mean, I've talked with a number of historians, diplomats, political scientists, people who study American political history, and they think the stakes of this election are as big as really they've ever been in American history, because as one European diplomat remarked, we can hold our breath for 4 years, but we can't hold it for eight. That is to say, another Trump term really would be a reaffirmation to the rest of the world and to the European allies that America is not interested in anything but turning inward in the way that Trump has taken it, and that the international system created after World War II and really sustained by the lone superpower of the United States is starting to come apart at the seams. So I think that this is by consensus one of the most important elections in American history.
That is Michael Hirsch, senior correspondent at Foreign Policy. He's got a piece coming up soon in Foreign Policy about what is at stake in this election. Michael Hirsch, thank you.
Thanks for having me.